All right, welcome to the Fit Vegan Podcast. I'm your show host, Maxim Seguin, and I'm the founder and CEO of Fit Vegan Coaching, a company that is on a mission to help 10,000 people get lean, thrive, and reduce their risk of chronic illnesses by 2033 and a million by 2050. I believe that having a fit, healthy body and mind is the foundation to living an incredible life, and this is what the show will give you if you choose to listen and implement. Enjoy the episode and have a great day. All right. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Fit Vegan Podcast. Today, I am joined by a Fit Vegan superstar, Warner. Warner, how are you doing today?
Oh, not too bad. That put a smile on my face. Superstar, right?
Yeah. Well, you have become a superstar in the tribe. You got a great, obviously, you got great results. Like, you know, so far, you're like down like 24 pounds approximately, yeah. But also you got a lot of fans in the group chat and on the group calls with our members.
All right, that feels good.
Awesome. So excited we get to have a conversation today to dive into kind of what your journey has been like. And so let's just get started with where you were at before you started the program. And let's paint a picture of what your life looked like as well before, like what you do for work, obligations, yeah. Because there seems to be some type of reason that people think that our members have nothing else to do besides just working out. But I know you have a full life.
Yeah, so
just get into it. Where were you before you got started?
Well, it depends how far back you want to go. I was born in Germany, 1950. Anyway, I didn't know that. Yeah, born in Germany. I was 6 months old when we came to Canada. And I made the newspaper headlines in St. John's, Newfoundland, because I took sick in the on the ship coming over. In the middle of the Atlantic, I developed a bowel obstruction, and I was only 6 months old. And my mother and the doctors on board, the doctors on board gave my mother little hope. They said that I would probably not survive the trip to Halifax. So the captain of the ship took a shortcut and went to St. John's, Newfoundland. And I was taken off the ship, and I was operated on there. And I survived. Anyway, long story
short. You're a miracle.
Yeah, it was. For my parents, certainly. My father kind of dedicated me to God and said, if he's to survive, he's all yours. So
yeah,
that's not why I got into the ministry, but that certainly, I think, from God's point of view, that's why.
Yeah.
As far as our weight loss and fitness journey is concerned, I started actually with Dr. John McDougall back in about 2013.
It's been around for a while, Warner.
I'm not that old. 2013, I had an appendectomy. And following that operation, I just didn't trust myself to eat any kind of heavy meal. And I went on the internet and did some research and found a guy that survives on drinking juice, vegetable juice. So I thought I'd give that a try, and I drank vegetable juice for a week, nothing else. Made me feel very good. My stomach always felt light, and after I felt like I'd given my internal organs enough time to rest and recuperate, I started getting into just eating whole food plant-based, because in the meantime, I had discovered Dr. John McDougall. I was on his forum. I bugged him I don't know how many times about how come I'm not losing weight, and it's not working for me, and I think that they were frustrated with me. In fact, I got booted off once because I questioned something that... that's too negative.
Yeah.
I don't want to get negative about that because I think he's doing a great job, and he's got a tremendous burden to not only get people healthy but to save the planet.
Yeah.
But it just didn't work for me, number one, because I was a cheater, you know. And that it made me feel... often made me feel terrible because, you know, when you make a vow to yourself, much less a vow to God, that you're going to do something about this weight. And I, at my highest, I was like 220.
Yeah.
For a 5'4" guy, that's like almost wider than you are tall.
That's like, so, I used to be that weight, but I'm 6'4".
Yeah,
so I can imagine that's condensed.
Yeah, for sure. And like I was often short of breath, I couldn't keep up. Anyway, I was off and on for years with McDougall, just never lost. Oh, sorry. One time I finally bit the bullet and I got down to about 156. And okay. 150 was my target. And I thought, good, I've arrived. And I kind of threw caution to the winds. And being part of church life, I mean, potlucks are, anyone that has a church background knows about potlucks, where you're eating casseroles. And I was pastor of an English-speaking Chinese congregation in Toronto. I'm telling you, they know how to eat. And we had Chinese restaurants all around us. And I loved, what's that chicken dish? General Tao chicken.
Yeah.
And, just rice and chicken and hot sauce. And it was great in terms of the senses. But I just gained all the weight back within like 6 months.
Yeah.
I'm sure that people who thought that I was being an example for them wondered at, you know, my lack of self-control. But that was an issue for me. Oddly enough, just a couple of months ago, the same Chinese folks that I used to pastor wrote me and asked me if I would write an 8,000-word article on self-control or self-discipline. And I thought, that's funny you should ask, because that's my struggle. And so I sent that article off to them. I worked on it for quite a few weeks. 8,000 words is a lot, actually.
Yeah.
For a sermon, I only do about 4,000 to 5,000 words. But anyway, getting back to the story of my progress. So I was always off and on. So I started calling myself a flexitarian, you know, and then people would give a knowing nod, you know, they knew what that was. And as long as I'm eating fish once in a while, I'm okay, you know?
Yeah.
But the thing about making a vow just always bothered me. And it bothered me as well that I didn't have the self-control to stick with it, to be consistent.
Yeah.
We had a couple of guys in our congregation who were fitness coaches themselves. They worked at Fit for Life. And they coached me on the side for free because I was their pastor. It was a gift from them as far as they were concerned. And we had a gym in our apartment block, and I would go down there maybe twice a week or so, but just didn't put my heart into it. I just couldn't find the key to engage my self-discipline. That bothered me to the day that I met you guys. What I felt I needed was the coach who would check with me regularly for accountability, and also a program, because with McDougall, there was never a meal plan. And even when I was working, I doubt that I could have kept up with a meal plan anyway. So
yeah,
that's the story of my fitness and weight loss journey. I was kind of a failure in that respect up until I met you guys. At first, I thought, oh, I can't afford this. I'm retired. I have a fixed income. Only have CPP and OAS, which is Canada's version of Social Security. You know that.
Yeah.
And I decided, and we had a lady here in our community. I live in the country, about 40 kilometers outside of Sault Ste. Marie. She was a fitness coach, and I checked with her, and she said, well, it would cost you about $50 a month. And I said, what? That's way too expensive. And then I met you. So I had to eat crow and go back to her after I signed up with you. And I said, listen, here's what I'm paying, and I have to explain this to you. That was just an excuse, you know. It was a question of priorities at the time. It wasn't a question of I can't afford it. Actually, I can't afford not to do something.
Yeah.
So that's where I signed up with you, and I've been with you ever since, and it's been working. And as far as the consistency and the self-control is concerned, I think the key in all of that was simply to be held accountable for the first 3 or 4 months, and to have that meal plan and to show just exactly how the breakdown goes, plus the work of the tribe, you know, just connecting with them. And
yeah.
Where we commiserate. Well, we don't commiserate. We just rejoice in each other's victories and wins. So, yeah, and that's been it.
Yeah. Well, it's beautiful. You even renewed. You say you added some more time to our coaching together. But what we'd love to ask you, like, what made it that when you discovered me, you decided it's like, hey, this is the direction that I want to go in. Because like you mentioned, you had this person charging, you know, $50 for a month, which, you know, people, I'm nowhere near that. So I'm curious, like, what was it for you? I was like, I need to do it this way.
Yeah, there were a couple of issues that drove me to you. One is a year ago, I went to Costa Rica on a missions trip. Yeah. And we came to a certain, it's not a mountain, but we are at 4,000 feet. And I've always, I think, had a sensitivity to this oxygen sufficiency thing. And yeah. I think there's a name for it, right?
Altitude sickness.
Yeah, exactly. So I started climbing this hill, and there were guys, like, there was an 85-year-old man, a friend of mine. He just motored up that hill like nothing. And I would take like 5 steps, and I'd be panting, and I have to stop and recover and take another few steps. And one of the guys remained behind with me and joined me in climbing that incline. And back then I said, this is nuts. I've got to do something. I just have no strength in my legs, and I'm so out of breath. And then the real kicker was when I had to rebuild my back deck. I took a crowbar and hammer and saw and started working on my back deck. Within 10 minutes, I was exhausted. My legs felt like they were rubber. I came in, sat down for 15 minutes, rested, recovered, went back out and worked for another, came back. It's just, so I think it took me a whole day to take down that deck. And a friend of mine, I called him and I said, I just can't do this. And he came by and he built the whole deck for me, a good friend. And that was it. I said, this is it. I'm going to either get old and moldy and decrepit and sit in a rocking chair the rest of my life, or I'm going to do something about this. I'm going to recover and build some strength and endurance. And that's what drove me towards you. Number one, I felt a bit awkward about a young lady coaching me. So I turned her down on that basis. But secondly, I felt like there was such a ring of truth about you guys that I didn't care what it cost. I've counseled people. For instance, a couple are going to break up, and I say, what are you willing to do to save your marriage? And they'll say, I'll do anything. And I'll say, anything? Okay, so I want you to buy a plane ticket. I know this counselor in California, and I want you to go down and spend a week with him. Oh, no, I couldn't do that. Well, you just said you'd do anything. What are you willing to pay? I felt the same way when it comes to getting my life in order as far as my fitness is concerned. Yeah. What are you willing to pay? Well, I'll do anything. I'll do anything. That's how motivated I was to get started here. And I'm telling you, I was not very motivated beforehand. I wasn't I'm no paragon. I'm no great example of I'm not a type A personality. And you might think so, but I'm not. In this area, I am. But basically, I'm pretty lazy. And in my old life, my wife refers to the old Werner and the new Werner. In my old life, I was pretty laid back, and I'd have to, you know, always wait to the last minute to get things done.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you sharing that. And it's true, right? Like, what would you be willing to do? And just an example that came up is when I was being a caregiver, I was moving at a deficit. I was paying over what I was making by about $5,000 to $10,000 per month in cancer treatments. And so doing what you need to do to help to serve either yourself or the people that you love, like, you do what you need to do. Right. So when people tell me that, I'm like, well, you know, like, money is one thing, but, you know, I paid it off now and it's great. But at the time, it's like, it's what I needed to do to get the outcome that I was hoping to get. And so I'm happy that you kind of made that decision for yourself. You know, before we dive into like the tools and strategies and kind of how the journey was, I have one question for you, because you're a leader in your community, right? You have that position of leadership. I know we had a few conversations about this, but how was it for you to take on this journey one more time in front of your community, in front of your congregation? How was that?
The folks that are watching this happen in the very early part of my journey, they didn't say much. And I could tell that they're thinking, we'll see, you know.
There goes Warner again.
yeah. He's so impulsive, you know. He jumps on any bandwagon. And maybe my wife even thought that. But in fact, with my wife, I mean, she once said to me, if don't do this for me, if not for you, you know. She's a bit older than I am, and she says, I need you around, you know. And that kind of shocked me to even think about being without her or vice versa. She was concerned. But I think that getting fitter really does have an effect on your brain, clarity of mind. I mean, I feel like I've come out of a long brain fog. So there's that. And the other thing was just, I feel more, there's a sense of, this isn't boasting, I'm just saying it as I feel it. There's a sense of integrity that I feel has kind of returned to me, in the sense that I'm keeping that vow. And the vow isn't, I'm never going to fail at a meal, or I'm never going to eat sugar or chocolate again. It's the big picture. This is the journey I'm on. And if I, like today, for instance, I was at a gathering and I had a donut, you know, but I knew very well that this is not my lifestyle, and I'm going to get right back on the wagon. So it's, the self-discipline is there. And it feels great to be able to say, I'm not breaking that vow that I made. Making a vow to yourself and breaking it. Here's the thing. You talked about self-love the other day, that you're not on that bandwagon, but there's an element of wisdom there where taking care of yourself, especially if you've made a vow to yourself. I mean, why would I keep a promise to others and not keep a promise to myself? What does that say about me? Does that make me, am I thinking less of myself in terms of value? You know, I would never break a promise that I made to somebody else. Hopefully I wouldn't. But I keep breaking promises I make to myself, which means that I don't think much of myself. So, I'm keeping that promise.
What do you think made that change happen?
Well, I'm going to say it was the Lord, because I would be praying about this constantly. Lord, please help me. Help me be consistent here. I think that he honored that. But I think that he uses people, and I think he used you and your program to get me serious about consistency. At the very beginning, you talked about consistency. You said consistency is key and consistency pays compound interest. I love those expressions, and I've used them again and again myself, because it pays off in other areas of your life. When you start being consistent in this area, you find yourself being consistent in other areas, because you're building up that, well, you know, according to Huberman, your self-control is controlled by two lobes. I don't know, what do you call them, anterior, some kind of cortex. I don't know the names. He's a neuroscientist, but he talks about them sort of being like a muscle, and the more you exercise them, the stronger your sense of self-control comes. Yeah. And perhaps that helped as well.
Yeah. So talking about it affecting other areas of your life, you mentioned previously that your wife refers to you as the old Warner and the new Warner. What's the difference between the two? And when did that change happen?
I think that she would tell you that I'm much more active here at home and helping out with household work. At least I'm doing the dishes frequently. I cook my own meals now. I told her at the start, if we're going to do this, I will cook for myself because I don't want to lay this on you, because she's not sold all the way on the program. I mean, she sees it's happening in me, but she still likes her egg for breakfast and the occasional piece of chicken or fish. And I won't necessarily join her in that. So I think that she sees that change, and she sees me being, I think, far more ambitious in ministry because, so I'm actually retired. I was supposed to be retired. Carol, my wife, jokes about me having been retired for about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And I really couldn't see retirement as a way of life, if retirement means just not doing anything. But a little church here in this community where I live asked me to help them, and I don't get a full-time salary, but I'm working with them almost full-time, and it feels great. I love it. I just love what I do. So now I forgot your question.
No worries. Well, I was going to say, we're friends on Facebook, so I do see when you go live on there and you're preaching every Sunday, and you look very vibrant. You look very vibrant in your videos. And again, there's a difference in your body. There's a difference in your face. So I had mentioned, like, what was the difference between the old Warner and the new Warner? As you kind of covered a few things, right? Like the energy, how you're showing up, and ambition. So I'd love to talk about, like, how has that process been for you so far of losing 24 pounds? Has there been any, you know, bumps in the roads? I know you went on a mission trips to Cuba. Like, just share with me when you had bumps and how you overcame them.
Yeah. So in Cuba, I mean, I took, I have a little portable blender. This little blender here is wireless. Oh, yeah. And it'll blend my protein powder right quick with water. And so I took that along to Cuba. And so I used that. I took enough powder, protein powder with me. But on that trip, there were so many occasions where, like, we didn't stay at the resort, although Cuba is having a really hard time these days. Yeah. And even the resort was shy of some foods. They couldn't get any beans. They couldn't get, my wife wanted eggs, but there were no eggs available. And then, so we only stayed at the resort for a couple of days. And then we were visiting in private homes. Wherever we go, we always recompense people for their hospitality. We make sure that we don't put them out and have them suffer as a result. And so they put out the best that they can. You know, like a salad might be a few slices of cucumber and a slice of bell pepper or something like that.
Yeah.
And maybe rice and beans, which is healthy, you know.
Yeah.
But often they'll get some meat that they, I mean, everything is black market there. They call it the informal market. I mean, even the government leaders are gaming the system and using the black market like crazy, making money off of it. But so there was no choice. I would often have to go off plan to eat. So I knew that, and it was one of those calculated things where you know that when you get back, you're going to get back on the wagon, and you're going to compensate, and not necessarily compensate, but just get back on the plan. And getting back on the plan, that one time, it took me about 2 weeks to recover. By recover, I mean it took me about 2 weeks to get back to the weight that I was when I left.
Yeah,
because I had gained about 6 or 7 pounds over the week. By the way, that thing about 3,500 calories per pound, I don't quite believe that, you know, because I can gain 2 pounds in one day, and it's not salt, you know, it's not withholding water. There's something else going on. But I mean, if the scientists are right, maybe there's something else. I'm not sure.
Yeah. So
that was one trip. That was one trip. And I'm leaving again end of March for 1 week. So we're going to have to go through that again. I'm going to get a little bit better prepared this time, maybe with protein bars and packaged foods that are safe to eat. So, you know, we're going to spend 2 days at the beginning at the resort and then 1 day at the end. So 3 days are taken care of. I have control of what I eat. As long as we're visiting and I'm a guest in someone's home, I'll have to be careful and tactful about what I eat there.
Yeah. And I think that's the beautiful part, right? Is you're learning how to handle what life is throwing your way.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, it's not about being locked into your house and always having access to your kitchen and the same gym, which is great, but that's not the reality of the type of life that you currently live. So right. It's beautiful that you're able to navigate that. So in terms of like losing 24 pounds and strength training and all that, what are differences that you noticed in your body?
Oh, I'm beginning to see some muscle, whereas before, there was no definition, there was no tone, nothing, except maybe that wing that flaps down here.
Yeah.
There's that wonderful feeling of waking up and thinking, oh, I'm so stiff. You know, that happens. Sometimes I work out and I don't feel sore the next day at all. But then the second day after,
that's the worst. Sore.
Like I did just a couple of days ago, I stepped up on a chair. I forget. I don't know whether I was holding weight on top of that or not, but to this day, I still, my butt cheeks are still sore.
Yes.
Stepping up on my haunches are still sore. So yeah, I love that feeling because you know, something's happening.
Yeah. Isn't that weird? Did you ever think that you would enjoy the feeling of muscle soreness?
Yeah. No, I mean, there are days where I would not have welcomed it, but these days I worry if I don't feel something.
Yeah.
And I think, well,
yeah,
that was a wasted effort because apparently my muscles handled it no problem.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And like I tell you guys all the time, like I've been in a constant state of muscle soreness for the past 18 years since I started working out. Oh. So you just get used to it, but it's a sensation that you learn to embrace and kind of see as a positive sign.
Yeah. I also learned that, you know, before I started this program, I thought, oh, I don't know if I can do this because I've got joint pain. My knees were aching. My shoulders were aching. I thought maybe I had a rotator cuff problem on my left side. But I learned that, and my feet were constantly sore. Constantly.
Yeah.
Especially when I would go for long walks. Speaking about changes, my wife would walk 5 kilometers and come home and feel just great. I'd walk maybe 2 kilometers and I was done. She would hike up a hill here back behind our house. We have a trail that goes up to a lookout point over Lake Superior. She would hike up that like nothing. And I couldn't get halfway up that hill.
Yeah.
And I thought, this is crazy. My goal is to make that entire hike with her, maybe in the spring. But, now I can do that 5 kilometers, no problem. And what I was starting to say is I learned that often when you're out on that walk, you work through the pain. And by the time you get halfway to your goal, the pain is gone. It's like you're working it out, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know whether that's arthritis or what that joint pain was about, but, at 73, you just never know. But, anyway, I don't have that pain any longer.
Yeah. Well, also you're strengthening those muscles around those joints as well. So that helps to remove some of the stressor on the joint, and the muscle is taking more of the load as well. So it could be less painful.
Sure.
So, you know, you brought up that there was the shoulder, there was the feet, there was all these things before you started. Did you have any concerns or apprehensions before started this process? Because ultimately, everything is online, right? So I don't know if you've ever done something online before, but did you have any concerns or apprehension when it came to the fitness or the nutrition or the online aspect before you started?
Well, first of all, the online aspect is perfect for me because I can fit my own schedule around. I don't have to alter my schedule to meet with you guys, you know, unless it's a Zoom meeting that's scheduled. But even then, I can go back online and pick up the recorded sessions.
Yeah.
I was going to say something about the other two things, the meal plan and the exercise program. I can't remember what it was. That still does happen.
Yeah, no worries. It'll come back. So
what was my name again?
Yeah. So let's talk about what were some of the tools that were the most helpful for you throughout the process? No, it could be from like, again, the meal plan to the calls, to the tribe, to the one-on-one calls. Like, what was the most helpful for you specifically?
Well, I think the meal plan and both meal plan and the exercise regime. So being told exactly what exercises I need to do. And I like the way that you rotate things so that I don't have to do push-ups every day. I'll do push-ups and planks and those kinds of things one day, and then I'll do the lower body or whatever. You know, there's upper body, there's lower body, there's full body, and you rotate those so that we don't overstress the same muscles again and again, which I think probably most weightlifters know that. But also, the one concern I did have is that I have a bit of a heart murmur.
Yeah.
And I'm that. I have a leaky valve. And I'm still wondering whether I'll ever be able to run at length, because even as a child, before I wasn't diagnosed until I was like 55. And I always wondered why I was last in every race, and I'd get so winded and didn't know why I couldn't keep up with the other kids, and was often picked last because of that apparent weakness. At age 55, I was diagnosed. It was a very subtle murmur, and the cardiologist told me I shouldn't have any problems in getting into an exercise program. But I'm not sure about, endurance running, or even I'll get on a treadmill and I'll run for a minute and then stop and walk for a minute, run for a minute, walk for a minute. I'll alternate that way. And I'm slowly trying to build up, and I can see how my resting heart rate is going down further and further, which means the heart's getting stronger, but I don't know whether it's getting larger. So I'd have to talk to a doctor or get an echogram done of the heart to see whether that's having any effect there.
Yeah, for sure. Well, ultimately, with the way that you're eating, that's going to keep your heart healthy as well. With the strength training that you're doing, it's going to keep your heart and your body healthy too. You know, there's no need to have to run a full marathon or a half marathon or 10 kilometers, right? Like, I tell people, if it's usually the only time it'll really come in handy for real life situation is if there's a zombie apocalypse or something. At the end of the day, who cares if you can run it? Because you still got to wait for your wife. So you can't outrun her. You got to wait for her anyways.
Yeah. They say that's how to survive a bear. Make sure that there's someone slower than you. No.
Yeah. 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 Okay. Put your wife on your back and run with it.
Better delete that part.
So let's talk about sleep, because you recently got a Whoop. So I'm curious, like, how have you been finding that tool?
If I'm honest with you, I don't understand it very well. I've watched some of the videos, and some of them are still kind of begging the question. For instance, heart rate variability. I don't understand how heart rate variability, as it changes, at first it scored me pretty low, and then it increased a little bit, and doesn't mean much to me because it doesn't explain the logic. And I have to understand the logic behind something.
Yeah.
Also, the recovery, there's a recovery score. I don't know what that means. Actually, 2 days ago, I wrote them and I said, I think I'm going to ask for a refund because this doesn't seem to be helping me. And then after an hour of deliberation, I wrote them back and I said, forget it, cancel that order. I'll keep it. So I wouldn't mind if after this, if you could log into my account and tell me some things.
Of course. I was just going to say, let's stay on after. I don't have another call after. We can stay on. I can show you how it works.
Sure.
Yeah. And so in terms of
you were asking about sleep. And that's still one area that I really want to lick. Last night, again, I woke up at 3:30. I woke up and I thought, oh, thank you, God. You gave me a full night's sleep. And I looked at my watch and it was 3:30.
Yeah.
And I was so disappointed. And I almost said, I'll take that back, God. But yeah. I think, yeah, I got up at 4:30 because I couldn't go back to sleep. I did some reading. I usually play a Sudoku game. And then I had breakfast, and then I went back to sleep for an hour. So it seems like if I put something in my gut when I feel wide awake in the middle of the night, then it helps me sleep. Yet the experts say don't put anything in your gut because then you're not getting the intensity that you need in terms of sleep.
Yeah, again, but the studies and the things that change as you get older, like it's slightly different, right? So I think they're starting to do more studies on people in their 70s and their 80s and their 90s kind of with sleep and see how that's being affected. Because obviously as you get older, also, you know, the bladder becomes an issue with waking up a few times a night. And so you're cutting out the water a lot earlier than the recommendations would be for someone in their, you know, 30s, 40s or 50s. And so I feel like for most people, it's just about experimenting and seeing kind of what works for you. You know, we had a member that had to stop drinking water, I think it was like 4 hours before bedtime, so that they wouldn't wake up in the middle of the night. But if they drank 3 hours before bedtime, they would for sure wake up once or twice to go to the bathroom.
I quit drinking anything by 6 p.m. and I still wake up at 3, 4 o'clock.
So it'd be something to experiment with, you different routines ultimately.
Occasionally when I feel like I'm really behind in my sleep debt, I'll take a gravel and it knocks me out. It knocks me out all night. I don't know. Maybe ask Dr. Laura, what are there any harmful effects to taking gravel? I know that it's not optimal to take a supplement or any kind of artificial remedy, but still it's better than not sleeping.
Yeah, for sure. We can talk about it after the podcast. Yeah. Yeah, okay. So let's get back into like losing the 24 pounds. Again, you're roughly like 15-ish pounds from where you were previously. You mentioned you were like in the 155s way back in the day that you managed to go down to. Yeah. Are you feeling differently now than you felt then around that weight?
Differently now that, oh. It's been, that was about 10 years ago and I can't recall how I felt, except that I mean, back then I felt pretty jubilant about attaining that, and people were complimenting me, and so I was getting dopamine hits from their compliments, I guess. But that was pretty short-lived. This time I'm quite confident that I'm gonna stick with it. I can't afford to do this again. I mean, if I do this again, it's game over.
Yeah, you know, but ultimately we'll do the reverse dieting as well. So it'll help you speed up your metabolism after, so you can keep the weight off too. Because, you know, at the end of the day, what you went through, like you mentioned a decade ago, to go down to that weight is what most people do, right? They have a moment where they're extremely motivated for a short period of time and they do what's necessary to kind of drop the weight. But at the end of the day, is the goal to be light for what, 2-3 months until the weight comes back on? Or is the goal to be that light forever?
Yeah. So let me fill in some blanks there, because as you were talking, it came back to me. One thing that was different is that with the program I was on before, there was no emphasis on protein and there was no emphasis on exercise. I mean, certainly they would say, yeah, go for a walk, etc., get fit, but there was no program. And so all I did was dieting. I would walk to my office every day, which was 2 kilometers. But my feet were killing me with that walk. And that just never went away. In fact, I noticed that my feet were often just, I want to call it slurring with my feet. I would drag my feet to work. I would stumble a lot because I wasn't picking my feet up high enough.
Yeah.
Now I feel like I'm a trotter, you know, like or canter, the way horses, they're actually.
You got a pep in your step.
Exactly. Thank you for that vocab. Now there's an exercise routine and there's the emphasis on protein. I think that the work that you guys have done to discover that this is what kickstarts your metabolism. Because my metabolism, I'm sure, was in the basement. because, you know, I would, in fact, I followed Andrew Taylor for a while from Australia, who did nothing but eat potatoes for a whole year. And I thought, hey, I'll try that. And in the church that I was pastoring, everybody knew that potato was my favorite vegetable. The truth was, it came a time I couldn't look a potato in the eye.
For sure, every day for a year. That's a lot of potatoes.
But no, I just tried for 1 week, and I couldn't, couldn't handle it longer than that. But even then, he would say it's impossible to not lose weight, because you can't possibly, because of the calorie density thing, you can't possibly eat enough potatoes to gain weight. But
you're losing a lot of muscle as well, because it's pretty low in protein. So if you are physically active, you're going to lose weight, and some of that weight will be lean muscle mass. So it's not necessarily like good weight that you would be dropping if you did that.
So when I got to 158, it was like I was truly, I wasn't skinny, but I was still fat. I mean, I was slender, but I was still fat.
We call it skinny fat.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. By the way, something I also wanted to mention, maybe for your viewers, I have always thought that I was fat, always. I look back at pictures now when I was 21, and I can't believe how slender I was. I wasn't fat at all.
Yeah.
And it's funny how we have an image of ourselves that doesn't reflect the true self.
Yeah. So
that's important for people to know, that what we think we were and what we think we are is possibly quite different from reality.
Yeah. Yeah, I've had very similar experiences. I'd look back at photos where I thought where I was a little bit chunkier, and then be like, damn, I look good. I should go back to that. I feel like I look good back then.
I look back now and I think, oh, that's what my wife fell in love with, you know. Whereas previously I think, why would she ever be attracted to me, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So we'd love to ask you, Warner, like, obviously you're still in the midst of the process. We still have more weight that we want to lose. We still have to do the reverse dieting, but, you know, has this journey been worth it for you so far?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I wouldn't trade this for anything, really. Maybe heaven, but short of that.
Yeah.
And
so I'd love to ask you before we wrap it up, like, any words of wisdom that you'd like to share with the listeners? Because we have people that are in the program right now. There are people that are considering being in the program. There's people that are just on their own health journey. And from someone that has managed to kind of go through different iterations of yourself and different processes and now having some success, like, what would you share with those people?
Oh, man. I knew that question was coming and I thought about it. I think that bit about consistency really pays off, and increasingly so the longer that you are consistent.
Yeah.
You know, the illustration that you use about that paper towel roll, when you take off the first few sheets, you don't notice the difference.
Yeah.
But the closer, the more you take off, suddenly you're beginning to see a difference.
Yeah.
So, you know, if anyone watching is considering this, man, go for it, because you will be helped by the team, the tribe, by your coaches. And you will maintain a level of consistency that that maybe you haven't seen before, and it will make a difference. And it makes a difference for that brain cloud that you feel now if you're out of shape. And it's amazing how you kind of wake up. It's like, did you see that movie? I think it was Robin Williams who depicted that scene where they discovered L-Dopa.
No, I don't think I saw that one.
Oh, man. There's a whole ward full of patients who are under, like, it's a mental illness that they had, whether it was senility or whatever. But they use these people as a trial to see what this L-Dopa drug would do. And they all woke up and they all partied. And they're talking normal and everything. And then when they quit the trial, they all slip back into their coma, almost brain fog. And that's kind of how I felt after a certain, after a few weeks of doing this. I felt like, whoa, I've woken up after a long period of brain fog. So consistency really, really helps. And physically, it feels great. The only concern I have is what I'm going to do with all that leftover skin. I feel like the pancake boy, you know, where I've got this, I'm going to have to hide it under my shorts now or my trunk because I don't be able to afford plastic surgery.
Yeah. Well, some of it will tighten a little bit, but yeah, depending on how much weight you had on before and you lose, it's a lot better to have loose skin than to have it filled with body fat.
Oh, exactly. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, beautiful. Warner, I really appreciate you for taking the time to record with me. Thank you for the words of wisdom. I know that people really benefited from the episode. And for everyone listening, there's some gifts down below for you for free. Obviously, if you're interested in working with us, kind of like Warner and all of our members, there's a link down below for that as well. But there's a bunch of free gifts for you under there. And we will see you all in the next episode. All right. Goodbye, everyone.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the episode, be sure to rate the podcast as it helps us grow and spread our message. And if you know this will help and resonate with someone, be sure to send it their way so that they can have the opportunity to level up their life as well.